God, take a text. And God is so good to us. We appreciate him so very, very much. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Praise God. Why don't you lift up your voice right now and thank God for all the blessings and all the goodness and the mercies and for a new place to worship God and a new season of revival and a new season of promise. Go ahead. No, that's pitiful. Give God high praise. Give him high praise. Magnify him and bless his name. Ah, we bless your name, oh God. We thank you, oh God. We bless you. We worship you. We lift you. Glory, 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 glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, and we are moving through the New Testament. We're way down in the latter parts of the New Testament, and we're making our way successfully through the Word of God, and God's helping us and talking to us. And here we are, 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Turn to your neighbors. You got to come over to my house sometime. You got to come eat lunch with me. You got to. What's for dinner? Yeah. Use hospitality. And if you use hospitality, don't grudge about it. Then afterwards, man, those people ate everything in a house. Can't believe that. They would hardly. The lights went out. The last piece of chicken was. No, we're not going to do that. Verse 10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, since the book of Romans, we've been talking to the church. Most of everything back this side of Romans is directed absolutely to the church. The church is the called out, those who have experienced the new birth. The new birth is baptism in water in the name of Jesus and baptism in the Spirit. It's what Jesus told Nicodemus about in John chapter 3. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you can't see or enter into the kingdom of God. And so this then is material and instruction for how to live for God. So this is not instruction to people that don't have the Holy Ghost. This won't make any sense to you if you don't have the Holy Ghost. This is not a letter to people that haven't been baptized and regenerated yet. Doesn't make any sense. So if you're here and you fit that category, the first step for you tonight is to go down in the water in the name of Jesus. We've got a baptistry right over there full of warm water, and God will wash all your sins away tonight, and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you, and God will fill you with his Spirit. Praise God. Well, when he fills you with his Spirit, you've received the gift of God. As every man has received the gift. The gift here is the charisma or the charis. It is the Greek word for the empowerment of God. It's the same word that is quite often translated grace. So the gift and the grace are the same. This is very like the Old Testament words that have to do with the birthright and the blessing of God that come down from the patriarchal period, the old man laying his hand on his son, Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, the Spirit of God off of Moses and on to the 70, and the anointing of God. That is Old Testament typology for this manifestation. You receive the gift of God. You've received his Spirit, but title to his kingdom. And now you're going to be heirs together with him. And you've received the promise of God and the anointing of God and a gifting of God that will be unique to you. It'll be the Spirit of God, but you are a unique vessel, and you'll express it in some unique way. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There is an expectation that you will be a good manager, a good steward of the grace of God. The same word, grace. It's the charis, the charisma of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. God is in all of this, and it all belongs to him. And any good thing here, anything, any good thing in this church, God did it. Any good thing in our lives, God did it. Every good thing that I have and that I am and that I've experienced, it all comes from the hand of God. I'm a beggar out on the street and I hear the calling of the word of God. And God let me in and the church embraced me. Now I have a chance to live forever with God. But I'll just tell you, any good thing that happens along the way, God gets all the credit for it. And it's only diminished by my capacity, my poor capacity to respond to God. I want to thank God. If you're glad for what God's done in your life, give him a little praise here tonight. I thank you, Jesus. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, who is above. Hallelujah. So if you speak as the oracle of God. You're the representative of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. And here, when we talk about ministry, we're not talking about card-carrying preachers or pulpit ministries. We're talking about everybody that has salvation has mission. Everybody that has mission has ministry. And so everybody standing right now, this would be representative of everybody in the house that has ministry. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and introduce yourself and say, hello, I'm minister, and use your name. Minister Mariah, Minister Caitlin, all right. Minister Rose Petal or Jocelyn or whatever you want to be called. So. Well, you don't have a card and you're not in an organization and you're not, forget all of that. God has filled us and God has called us and God has an expectation. And if you speak, do it as the oracle of God. And if you minister, do it as the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for his word. Bless his name and thank him for his word. Ah, hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise and we magnify you. We bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, oh God. Praise God. Boy, Lindsay, you do such a good job. And this praise group, y'all do such a good job. I love our praise group. These musicians are doing a great job. The drummer, we need a garage door on that little hole. So we can close him. No, Josh, I'm just kidding. Isn't it nice to walk in a place and have somebody help you usher in the presence of God? Really, really nice. Okay, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Open your life. God is open to you. The cross is the emblem of that. He's wide open. He stretches out himself. He's open to everyone. Anybody can come. Even at the last minute, the thief on the cross gets to come in, and he's open to him. Be hospitable to everybody. It is a character trait of God. It is a character trait of the people of God. Isn't God amazing? He's thought of everything. How many of you have stories about where God just drops little things in your life, and nobody really might understand it? You try to explain it to people, they don't really see it, but you see the hand of God, and it's really something sweet. It's something so personal. He knows you like that, or that you've wanted that, or you've lost that, and here he restores it. Anybody have a testimony like that? Isn't it amazing how God just leaves handfuls on purpose all along the way? God prepares everything from the foundation of the earth, and he's so comprehensive. He thinks of everything. He is the consummate host. He is the consummate about hospitality. And so now the word of God is calling his church to be hospitable because it's calling us to be like God. Open your life. Open your resources. God has given us everything. And as we emulate him, we open ourselves to others and we give ourselves to others. We give our time, we give our capacity, we give our resources, and we become a blessing to everyone around us. And there's no way that you can stop it because you're a conduit for the kingdom of God. And as you give, God gives you more. Is that true in the word of God? So we're not worried about helping and blessing and giving. Don't worry, I'm not going to take up another offering. You get nervous when you start talking like this. But here's the scripture, Luke 6 and 38. Everyone say, give. And it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Now, is this the word of God? Is this the word of God? Now, what's going to happen when you give to others, when you're open and you are hospitable like this, like your God? I'm going to get back more than I gave. Now, is there a witness in the house? I'm going to get back more. God's going to pour it out. It's going to be a good measure, pressed down, shaken together until it runs over. That's what God's going to give. Praise God. So we don't even think about it. God's never going to be in our debt. For with the same measure that you meet, with the little cup or the big bucket that you give out with, it shall be measured to you again. So what you use to dispense mercy, that if you give drops of mercy are coming back. If you give drops of goodness and kindness and love, that you're just going to get a little shower. But if you ever catch the vision of this and you just start pouring out of yourself on other people, do it strategically. Do it in a targeted way. Do it in a wise way. Do it in a biblical way. But once you find your target, don't hesitate and don't hold back. Pour yourself out into the kingdom of God and the people of God and the things of God and the fields of God, because God is going to pour that back into your life in an extraordinary way. Does anybody believe that tonight? So as we move on in that passage in 1 Peter, verse 10, as every man has received the gift. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? How many of you are happy with the Holy Ghost? How many can testify that the Holy Ghost is the best thing in the whole world? Praise God. How many of you have the promise of God? The hope of heaven, your sins washed away, your name in the Lamb's book of life. How many of you can say he's healed me? He's provided for me. He's been my way maker. He's been my champion. He's been my warrior king. He's come in the middle of my trouble and he's found an answer for me. Is there a witness in the house tonight that God is faithful and God is good? Praise God. So all of that kind of comes under the heading of the gift. All of that stuff is in the package of the gift that God has given you. And he says, so if that's the case, if you've received the gift of God, even so, minister the same to one another. All the good stuff that God gave you, give it out. All the blessings of God on you, bless others. Because that's the purpose of God in your life. That you be blessed and you be a blessing. That is the methodology of the kingdom of God. Even so, minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God didn't give you that gift so you could squander it. God didn't give it to you so you could wander off and play with the Canaanites and the Philistines and the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the ites. He didn't give that to you to go off and be lazy and bury it and not use it. He gave it to you so that you could be a blessing to the world around you and everybody around you. And it irritates God when you misuse and have malfeasance and you don't appropriately respond to the plan and the method of God. He said, you need to be a good steward, the one who handles and manages and appropriates the things of God. God has given us the church. God's given us his gift, his charisma, his charis. He's given us, or this is called the charisma of God, is a divinely conferred power or talent. And it's something that God has given you. And it comes alive when you use it. And it grows dormant when you don't. And the expectation of God is that you use it. Because it's not just, you're not blessed in its entirety just because you have it. It's only there and you've only just begun. It's when you begin to utilize it and give it out and practice it and walk up and down in it that you can see the enormity of it. It has breadth and depth and length and height, and it's multidimensional, and you never know that if you just keep it in your pocket somewhere. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost 40 years ago and I'm so excited about it. But I hadn't touched anybody, I hadn't done anything, I haven't been available to the kingdom of God. That's not the will of God for you. The God gave it to you for a purpose. God has a purpose for everything in creation. So what God has given us, the intention is that we minister to others. Here's what he said to Abraham. He said, Abraham, and Abraham's the beginning of the covenant of faith. He said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse those that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, all the earth's going to be blessed. The essence of that is that the Christ is going to come essentially through Abraham to the whole world. But it's broader than that. It's bigger than that. It's wherever God deposits his blessing, he's expecting that that one who's received the blessing becomes a good steward and yields that blessing to everything and everyone around him. It is the will of God, starting with Abraham, that you be a blessing to everybody around you, that you not be a vexation or a hindrance or an irritation or a drag. God wants you to be a blessing to everybody around you. Somebody say praise the Lord. We're called to be good stewards of the grace of God. What he gave to the church, he gave to Israel in times past. Israel was called to be a nation of priests. This is in Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Israel was called to a mediatorial position where they bring God to men and bring men to God. That was Israel's call. They never made it because they were playing footsies with the Philistines and they couldn't get their mind out of Egypt and they were hung up in so many things. They never became what God called them to become. What a travesty. What a sad, sad tragedy. What a horrible thing for us to be the vast potential of God on the earth and we go to sleep on the job. They never get there. He said this, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine. I got everything that you need, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. God wanted Israel to be a kingdom of priests. He wanted them to be his middleman, his mediator, his bridge work to the world around him. That's exactly what he wants the church be tonight. Israel was called to be the light of the world, to reach the whole world. Isaiah 49 and 6, I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. You're not just light. You're not just example. You are the offering of the salvation of God to all of your neighbors and your co-workers and everybody around you. You're all your lost family members. You are the insurgent force of God in the earth, and God has an expectation that you're going to be up for the job. Is anybody up for the job? Anybody want to do what God has called you to do? Anybody want to be what God has determined that we should be? Israel never does it. Israel never opens the door to the Gentiles. Israel never makes a way for them. And they fail in the calling of God. His house is big enough for everybody. Tell your neighbor, God's house is big enough for everybody. Man, there's room in God's house for people you don't even expect. There's room in God's house for every kind of people there are. There's room in God's house for the people that you don't even like. There's room in God's house for the people that have hurt you and abused you. There's room in God's house for everybody. There's room in God's house for every ethnicity. There's room in God's house for every strata of educational experience. There's room in God's house for every economic strata. There's room in God's house for everybody. Do you believe that tonight? Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Everybody needs to come to God. Isaiah 56 and 6. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, and everyone that keepeth his Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. He said, I'm bringing in the strangers and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, and my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. God wants all people to come to his house. Don't look at anybody tomorrow and say, well, that one never would come, because God's got a target on him already. God says, yes, he can come. Yes, she can come. Anybody can come. Your job is not to be the gate. Your job is not to decide who. Your job is just sow the word on everybody and be a light and a witness to everybody. That's your job. God determines, and they by their will determine. The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel say, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. It's going to blow your mind who comes to live for God. It's going to make you crazy who comes to live for God. My wife and I walked into an apostolic church in 1974, and we were unlike anything in the house. We were unlike anything they ever fellowshipped with, they ever socialized with. Some of them wouldn't come and pray with us because they thought we were weird. And we had little kids turn around on the pew and just stare at us, look at us up and down. You know, they thought we were strange. Well, I thought they were strange. You know, But God has people in this city. You're going to look at them and you're going to think they would never come and live for God. We stood right down in the altar area and had a young man who was aspiring to ministry tell us, you are the last people I ever thought I'd see in an apostolic church. But he didn't mean it because we were so weird or so vile or anything like that. He only knew us in high school. But I was a jock and my wife was a cheerleader, and he just never thought that people that had it going socially, culturally in the school would ever be hungry for God. But I'm telling you, the people that you think least ever would want to come to God, they're burying their face in a pillow tonight, and they're crying out and they're praying that somebody would bring them the truth of God. Praise God. Praise God. There's a gal tonight somewhere that's married to a prophet, and he really is. I have a lot of preachers that come through here and preach for us, and they mention this guy's name, and they tell me, this guy calls me up and he gives me words, and it's so amazing. And they are so blown away by the gift of prophecy in his life. His wife was from a little town in Louisiana. Her dad was the district attorney. She was drop dead gorgeous for years. When we came to Birmingham, my girls would slick their hair back in that slick chick thing, the little bun on the back, and they would say, I'm, and they'd call her name. And they would pretend to be her. She was just so absolutely beautiful. And this guy that she got connected with, he was a grease monkey. He was a long, lanky mechanic, and he lived in the area around us. He was neighbors to a church family, and he would go over. His house was full of friction and full of trouble and full of strife, and he would go to their house and just sit and sometimes eat with them or hang out with them, but sometimes he would just go and sit, and sometimes they would see him sitting on the couch, and they would say, man, I'm sorry, we can't spend, but we're doing stuff. We're about to go somewhere. He said, I just like to be here. It's so nice here. It's so peaceful here. And they won him to God just by the hospitality of their home. And he came into the church, and he's this long, lanky redneck, and he's a mechanic, and he's a grease monkey, and he comes in and he starts living for God, and he's doing a really good job, and it's just amazing watching him come in and grow and everything. And then he starts hanging out with the DA's daughter. He starts hanging out with this beautiful young lady, and it's like everybody looks and says, I never thought that he would start hanging. And they wound up getting married. And it was like nobody ever thought this guy would ever get that girl. And then they went off to Bible college. And then they got involved in ministry. And then they start. I'm just telling you, you never know when they walk in the door where they're going to go or what they're going to do or who they're going to be or what the gift of God will be. And tonight, I have guys that fill this pulpit that you have great respect for, that have great respect for that grease monkey, because he speaks prophetically into their lives. And every time I think about it, I just chuckle. I just laugh, because it's like, God, you do such wonderful stuff. You do such neat stuff. You do stuff out there with your left hand that nobody sees coming at all. And we, here we are, we're having all this stuff going on, and it's all wonderful and it's all good. And then God, bam, God does something over here and brings something in that shocks the church itself. I love that kind of stuff. I want God to do that kind of stuff here. But you don't need to look at anybody and think it has to be a certain way. You just have to know what the gift and the grace of God is. And that's what you do. You deliver how good God is, how wonderful God is. You talk about it, you live it, you exemplify it, and God's going to draw somebody. So all of these scriptures were given by Jewish prophets to a Jewish nation, Israel, and the world lay in darkness outside of Israel, languishing without the truth, without the light, without an active priesthood. Israel became a dead sea because they never would open their hand. They had no outlet. When you don't have an outlet, you tank up on the blessings of God, and you become toxic and you become rancid. They wouldn't open their hand to release the gift of God to the world. Jonah is a microcosm of that. Jonah is a prophet that is reluctant to go. Nineveh is lying in judgment. He wants them to be destroyed. He's afraid that God will give them mercy, and he tries to flee on the face of the ocean, but God sends a storm, and God sends a fish, and God takes him to Nineveh in the belly of a fish, and then he walks in, and he's still mad, and he preaches to them, and the whole place repents. It was a thing that Jonah wasn't happy about the revival. He wasn't happy about the Ninevites turning. He wasn't happy that God didn't destroy them. He had the gift of God, and he had a terrible attitude, and it's an amazing thing. But God puts his gift in men and women who have free will, and he gives us the charge and the mandate, and then it's up to us. But there are people who hold the truth of God and will not open their hand to hungry people all around them. They're passing people that are going into hell every day, and you don't know their time, and you don't know their season, and you've got the answer of their eternity in your hand. God forbid that you would hold that. You release that to them. Tell everybody. Tell every teller you meet. Tell every cashier that you... Tell the little person at the drive-through window. Tell everybody that waits on your table. Tell everybody that you work with. Tell everybody. That may irritate them. Somebody may snub you. Somebody may turn you down, but you never know. Somebody in that crowd's going to come. Somebody's going to come. Somebody's going to live for God. And I'll tell you this, it is directly connected with the number of times that we tell the story. The more we tell the story, the more of them that are going to come in. The more people that we touch, the more people will come in. The more we exercise the gift of God in their lives, the more that they will come in. You've got to understand, if there are few coming in, it's because we're not doing much of a job. If we had ramped this thing up and take a little bit of intensity with us into the places that we work and we go to school, just tell somebody. People are going to come. It will blow your mind who's going to come and live for God. Be hospitable. Be open. Be a giving person. Be kind. Be compassionate. Consider that you've got the gift of God and it's what they need. He said in that 10th verse of 1 Peter 4, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, we are stewards. What an enormous responsibility, and what an exciting proposition that God has put his plan in the hands of his church. But I tremble when I read the parables, the farming parables, and the parable of the talents, and the vineyard parables. Those parables are very instructive, but they're extremely terse, and people at the end of the parables go to hell because they're not producing as God has called them to produce. The stewards over the vineyard of God get displaced. And he said, I'm going to give my vineyard to other stewards who will bear fruit in their season. And the stewards that he displaced was Israel. And now the church is those other stewards. And what are we doing with what God has given us? And will we fall into the same trap? And I'll just tell you this, the rate and the intensity of evangelism in third world settings is far greater than that of the American church. The American church is not as intense because the American church has everything that it needs. It has a store on every corner. It has luxury in its life. You may not think you have luxury, but all you got to do is travel to third world nations and you will love your life again. You just come on back to the place where God has given you such a blessing in your life. And one of the things, one of the extreme ironies is that people that God blesses most, they tend to do less with the blessing. When we were in the Philippines in 1980, the Filipino people had nothing. They had the clothes on their back. You could see people out in a rainstorm with a bar of soap taking a bath. They slept like cordwood on the floor of a little house. They lived in nipa huts. They had church in cane huts or nipa huts. They didn't have any luxuries at all. For the most part, they were extremely poor. But they heard the message of the cross and they heard the calling of God, and they wanted to be used of God, and they started a program while we were there called A Handful of Rice. And they didn't have much, but they all lived on rice. And every little family at every little table every day, when they would sit down to eat, they would take a handful of rice and put it on the side and put it in a bag. And about once a week or so, a preacher would come by and he would pick up from those families in his church, and they would take it to a place where there was a meeting place, and they'd fill up these 100-pound sacks with rice, and they would send it off to those that were there in a city nearby. And they took that rice and they used it and they sold it, and they had a missions fund. They had a missions program. They called it A Handful of Rice. And they would send out, with the proceeds of that, they would send out missionaries to these little far-flung islands and villages that no one had touched, therefore, to that point in the Philippines. Isn't it amazing? They didn't have much, just a little crust of bread, but they took a little bit of that and dropped it in a place and said, I'm not going to fall short. I don't have much, but what I have, isn't it amazing that people who have very little tend to be magnanimous, and people who start having something, they tend to pull back a little bit? But I believe it's possible to walk in the blessing of God and be a blessing. I believe it's possible to be like Abraham, to stand between God and the world and be the conduit for the word and for the blessing and for the promise of God. Clap your hands, lift your voice, ask God to use you. Somebody lift up a voice and tell God that you're available. Somebody put your life on an altar afresh and anew tonight. Well, praise God. You can't be like the loser in the parable of the talents and bury your talent, your gift, what God has given you. There is an expectation in these parables of increase. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That is corporately, that is individually. We are called by God to increase. You have to grow. You have to prosper. You have to learn, you have to improve, and you have to be productive in the kingdom of God. You don't want to be like this guy that buried his talent, and then when the day of reckoning came, he said, look, this is what you gave me. I have what you gave me. I didn't lose it. It's not about not losing. If you're struggling not to lose your salvation, struggling not to lose your Holy Ghost, you are way behind the eight ball right now. You're in trouble right now, because this thing is not about hanging on with your fingernails. This thing is about growing and increasing and prospering and then being blessed of God to bless others. It's not about just clinging on by your fingernails. You're lost already. Because you don't have the vision and you don't have the understanding. This thing is about getting all you can and blessing everybody that you can touch. 4 and 11 If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God gives. We are his ambassadors. God gave it. God does it. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Paul said, for in him we live and move and have our being. Where's Sister Bonnie? Sister Bonnie, where are you? Wave at me, yell at me, do something like that. Sister Bonnie, can you sing, I can't even walk without him holding my hand? Just a little bit. Just you're kind of like you're not happy with it. It's better than most of ours at our best. That's right. Too low. I learned to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Somebody say, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Sing, the mountains too high and the valleys too low. Ha! Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. And I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I don't know how to do nothing. I don't know how to preach a sermon. I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I scarcely know how to get up and tie my shoes in the morning. I'm leaning toward Velcro and all of those things. You know, I don't know anything at all. But I tell you, I serve a God that knows everything. And he helps me. He helps me. He holds my hand. I don't have a mountain that's a problem because God is in my life. I don't have a valley experience that's intimidating because if I walk through the valley, God is with me. Me, his rod and staff, they comfort me. Yeah. So in him we live, we move, we have our being. Use your gift, use your charisma, use that. Glorify God. Encourage someone and glorify God. Cook on Saturday for prayer. Cook on Wednesday night for fellowship. Cook on Sunday to feed the Sunday school teachers and the praise group and glorify God. Train your quizzers and do those quiz cards and glorify God. Drive your bus and pick up those kids and those young people. We've got some in the house tonight on a Sunday night. They're always here on Sunday morning, but they're here on Sunday night, and I'm glad to see them on Sunday night. Somebody went out into the neighborhood and picked them up on a bus, and now they're saying, I want to be at the house of God on Sunday night. God will make something out of you. God will change your destiny and make you great in the kingdom of God. Drive your bus and glorify God. Work your ministry. Do what God has placed on your heart. We have passion-based ministries here. I want everybody here involved in some ministry, and I want you involved in something that you've got passion for. If you are building a craft, build your craft and glorify God. If you're building a business, build your business and glorify God. Church is not about everything on Sunday morning. If you can build a business and you can put diesel in the bus, you're a part of ministry. If you can build a business and you can keep the lights on in the house of God, that's ministry. Well, I'm not involved in ministry. I just work a job. The devil has lied to you. Brother Warren, every day you go to work, every time you set a piece of sheetrock in place and you do it with craft and you do it with skill, you're paying for revival in the house of God, and that is ministry. Use your gift. Glorify God. Build your business. Pay the light bill. Glorify God. Paint a wall. Install an air conditioner. Install a handrail. Glorify God. Sing your song. Glorify God. Tell your story and glorify God. Teach your class and glorify God. Play your instrument and glorify God. Meet them at the door and usher them into the house of God and glorify God. Greet them at the door and show them that you're a happy people and glorify God. Create an atmosphere of worship and praise and be a minister of worship in the house of God. Pray before the service. Pray during the service and be a prayer minister in the house of God. Don't you see? Don't you understand? There's ministry in everything we do in the house of God and in the kingdom of God. Everything that he's instructed us to do is ministry. Everybody's got their hands in it and God anoints it all. Somebody say praise the Lord. I believe God will anoint you on your job. I believe God will anoint you in your ministry, whatever your ministry is. Oh, somebody talk in tongues right now. Exercise the gift of God. Be used of God. Lindsay, come play. Come play your piano and minister. Praise God. Witness to everybody you meet and glorify God. Tell them how good God is. Praise God. Sister Xenia's called me the last 2 weeks. She said, I've got like 14 kids that want to come to church and a couple of adults. I said, well, bring them. She said, well, how can I bring them? Because the van's busy other places. I said, well, we'll rent a van. I'll get a van. So we went down and we got her a van. And last Sunday she had like 13, 14 folks on. This morning she had 15 people on the bus. On her van. And she told me, she said, I feel bad. I want to pay half of this. I said, you're nuts. I don't know how to say that. ¿Cómo se dice en español? You are nuts. Brother George, help me. I don't know. It doesn't some things just don't translate. You just don't want to help me. You don't want to use the gift that God has given you. I said, you're nuts. This is ministry. That's what we do. You're going, you're spending your time, you're taking your energy, you're going down and doing that, and we're sending you with the van. If we couldn't afford it, if we couldn't do it, I wouldn't do it. We wouldn't send it. But I'm telling you, I don't want to stand before God and God say, why didn't you pick up those 14 kids? Why didn't you bring those babies to the house of God? I wouldn't have a thing to say. That's not going to be on me, friend. That's just not going to happen. He said, use your gift, be hospitable, be open, be the oracle of God, be the voice of God, be the priesthood, the mediatorship, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion and power forever and ever. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody here have a passion to be used of God? You know, we're a little bit different here. We're a little bit different here. You see, when we pray, and we were praying for Sister Cynthia tonight, and Joy was standing here, and all these ladies and young ladies and some children were gathered around praying because we believe that the kingdom of God is powerful in any vessel. And we don't relegate prayer to somebody that has a card in their pocket. I believe that's a travesty. But I believe it's a travesty if you have the Holy Ghost, card or no card, and you're not being used of God. You're not finding a place to have an open, flowing, resourceful, productive ministry in the kingdom of God. You need to be used of God. You don't want to be a toxic, rancid, dead sea. You want to be used of God. Praise God. We're a little bit different. Tonight, if I ask all the ministers to stand, I would want everybody in the house to stand because everybody has ministry. Because here's how it works. Spiritual formation happens. That's when you receive the Holy Ghost and God begins to form you up. Then vision, boom, you begin to understand the kingdom of God and the things of God. And as soon as God turns on the lights, mission. You begin to feel a purpose and a calling, and God has a plan for you. I think you're strategically crafted. I think you are strategically positioned. And I think there are people that you can touch that nobody else will ever have a shot at. That's how important I think you are in the kingdom of God. And you have to be up for it. And you have to be full of the kingdom of God. And you have to be wise, because he that is wise winneth souls. You have to be ready for it. And you can't be bogged down with all the Philistines and the Canaanites and all the ites. You can't have a foot off in the world and lose your edge in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Let's stand. Praise God. Anybody that wants to be used of God, and you want your gifting to be effective in this city, I want you to come down to this altar right now. Anybody that wants God to speak to you for direction and cause you to walk up and down in his blessing and be an anointed witness, I want you to come to this altar. Don't look at me. Start talking to God. Start talking to God. God, here I am. God, I'm available. God, I don't know where and I don't know how, but I want you to lead me and I want you to teach me and I want you to show me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come all the way down close. Come close, because we're not going to fit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I don't know what you're going to do, but here I am. I'm going to yield myself to you. Everything I am, everything I have, everything, every capacity, every gift, oh God. Here it is. Open the door, God. Give me marching orders. Give me direction, oh God. Show me what you have me do. I'm available, oh God. Come on, church, you're a mighty army. Come on, church, you're an army terrible with banners, awesome with banners. There is nothing in this city that you can't accomplish. There's no place in this city that you can't breathe revival. God, awaken your church. Awaken your people, God. Let them see what you put in their heart. God, show them the vast potential and power. God, go ahead. If you're not doing it yet, take somebody's hand. Lay your hand on somebody by you. Let that Holy Ghost flow from house to house, vessel to vessel. Hey. Holding nothing.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Bert, come, let's talk about this a little bit. I know you're not ready, and I know it's not fully fleshed out, but I don't want to talk about it. Brother Bert came to me the other night, and we're talking about a new passion-based ministry. And this is how it's going to be, folks. This thing's going to spiral up and out. It's going to go in places where you just wouldn't have thought, and it's going to be so impactful and so effective. Brother Bert said, what if we took young men like the Made in His Image group, and then as we begin to talk about it, older guys, and maybe some of these young men that are coming now, not only Sunday morning, but Sunday night. And what he's talking about is practical experience. Having our craftsmen, people who know how to do things that men should know at some level, how to plane down a piece of wood, how to take a sledgehammer and knock a block wall out and hang a door, how to paint, how to caulk, how to fix plumbing, how to change oil, how to use a skill saw, now, does that sound deeply spiritual to you? Make no mistake about it, this is vastly spiritual. I could see something. Brother Bert's going to flesh that out, and we're going to make a full presentation of it. He's probably going, why does he do this? Why does he jump the gun on something? But he's going to flesh it out. We're going to have a pattern and a schedule, and we're going to begin to train young men and boys in things that they have a need to know. It's going to make us better as a church. It's going to save you a ton of money in your house, guys. It's going to cause you to be able to get your honey-do list done. Anybody have a honey-do list? But I can see a counterpart in young ladies where we have ministry that teaches young ladies how to do things for the keeping of the house. And there's a lady over here laughing right now. But Sister Verba knows about feeding a whole bunch of people all at one time. She knows about managing food preparation and stuff. I mean, there's a vast wealth of knowledge and information here. The exchange of that is ministry. If you think that ministry is localized to this and here, the church is not 1% of what it needs to be. Because a church is a body, and everybody in the body has ministry. And it's without limitation. Zach, we're going to teach some of these guys how to weld. We're going to teach them how to burn a rod. Isn't that incredible? And that's anointed. Man, when you find out that your business and your trade and your craft can be ministry, it explodes in your spirit. You feel better about being at work. You walk into the house of God with something else. I am a part. I contribute to the house of God. I can build people. I may not teach a Bible study, but I'm going to teach this guy how to yank the blade off his lawnmower and sharpen that thing. It's amazing. So that's something that's coming. Before we stop tonight, I want you to lay hands on somebody by you, and I want you to talk in tongues and pray the anointing and the blessing of God upon their lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, bless, strengthen, prosper, use, oh God. I breathe on us, oh God, yes. Somebody say yes. Praise the Lord. Let's praise him and magnify him together tonight. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Hey, we worship you, oh God. We praise you, mighty God. We lift you up, oh God. Well, isn't God good? Isn't it great to be a part of the kingdom of God? Love and bless somebody before you leave the house tonight. Have a blessed week. Tell somebody about your God and how good he is. Be light, be salt, be the bridge work between God and this city. God bless you.